Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Have you ever wondered if maybe there are some people who know like some secrets or have some skills that you don't have that allow them to like be closer to God than you are, or to grow spiritually in ways that you're not, or just to have their lives together? Yeah, there are. There are actually people who know some secrets and some skills. And today what I want to do is I want to share two of those skills with you so that you can start applying them in your life so that you can be closer to God and you can grow spiritually and maybe your life will be a little more together. As we conclude this series we've been doing called Real Prayer, something unusual is happening right now. Today I'm flying to Florida and I was asked to go and speak at this retreat of church planters, which is what they call it when somebody starts a church, and they wanted to hear what we did here at Verve, which is very cool. And so I'm not going to be here tomorrow night. We have a service on Monday nights, so we're actually filming the message right now, and we're going to show it tomorrow night and see how that works. So hey, Monday night crowd, wish I was with you. Sunday morning people, some of you have met some Monday night people, some of you haven't, but why don't we all say hey to them? So we'll be like, hey, Monday night. You ready? One, two, three. Hey, Monday night. And we'll say, how you doing? How you doing? It's kind of weird. You guys are flirting via video. That probably won't work. But so anyway, what I want to do is I want to share this story with you from the Old Testament. Very cool story. And through this story, we're going to pick up some skills that we can apply in our lives and that can change our lives. Totally. I completely believe that. So the story's in the Old Testament in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. If you don't have a Bible with you, I'll read it to you. You're fine. If you don't own a Bible, stop by the Velcro bar on the way out. We'll give you a Bible. So here's what's going on in the story. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as the chapter opens, what happens is that there's these three nations who are enemies. But they decide to kind of put together a conglomerate army to attack the army of Israel. So the three nations are Moab, Ammon, and the nation of Mount Seir, who are called the Munites. And they all decide, let's get together and let's attack the nation of Israel and their king, Jehoshaphat, and just destroy them together. All right, so in verse 2, the king hears about this situation, the king of Israel, Jehoshaphat. So here's what it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 2. It says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. And then in verse 3, we learn of Jehoshaphat's response to this. It says, alarmed. Yeah, I would imagine he'd be alarmed, right? It says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Okay, so instead of hearing this and saying, you know, he might say, let's run, let's get out of here. Or he might say, hey, let's get ready, we're about to go to battle, let's get ready for battle. He might start inspiring his men. But instead, what he does is he inquires of the Lord. And I want you guys to remember this today. We've never done anything like this, but I'm sure you guys are capable of this. I want you to say that out loud just to kind of help you with remembering this. So what did he do? He inquired of the Lord. Ready? What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. Very good. All right, and so here's what happens. He goes to the temple where people worship God, and he brings a bunch of people with him, and in verses 5 through 12, he kind of prays. And what he does is he just lays the whole situation out before God. God already knows, but he just says, God, here's what's going on. And he lays it all out before God, and then basically he says, like, Lord, this big army has come against us, and we don't have enough power. We don't know what to do. God, you've told us that when we don't have power, you have power. When we have trouble, we can come to you. And so here we are. And the conclusion of the prayer comes in verse 12. He says this. He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. It's kind of poetic almost the way he says it. And I like that. So let's remember that. Let's say that out loud. And Monday night people, you have to do it as well. So ready? He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Okay, you ready? One, two, three. He says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All right. And so what happens next is the next morning he gets up and he goes there. So right here what happens, actually, I got ahead of myself. As in verse 13, he says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then verse 13 says, all the men of Judah with their wives and children and little ones stood there before the Lord. So he says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then everyone just stands there and waits, right? They don't say, okay, we prayed, let's go, let's do something. They just stand there. And what happens next is that God speaks to one of the people. Let me explain this real quick. Back then, they didn't have the Bible, right? Their lives are actually becoming the Bible. We're reading the Bible right now, and it's their lives. Right today, we have the Bible, so God can speak to us through the Bible. They didn't have that. And so when God wanted to speak to people back then, what he would typically do is he would speak to a person, and that person would communicate the message. And what we find, like, in the Old Testament is that when there's some question of that, it's like, wait, did God really speak to you? Like, why should we believe that this is really from God? What God would do is he'd give that person the ability to do miracles to kind of validate, to prove this is really a message from God. And so that's kind of what he would do. And this is what happens here in verses 14 and 15. God gives this guy named Jehazel a message. So verse 15, God says this through Jehazel. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. He says, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. And so what they did is they said, we do not know what to do, our eyes upon you. They just stand there and they receive a word from God. Okay, let's say that out loud so we get that too. So they inquire to the Lord, right? They said, we do not know what to do, but our eyes upon you. And then they get a word from God. What do they get? A word from God. Well, you guys are good. All right, maybe we'll do this again someday. All right. So they have this bad situation. They get this word from God. So the next morning, the king, Jehoshaphat, goes to all the people and he says, don't be afraid. He says, we heard from God and we're going to take this. Like, I know that their army is much bigger. I know it's 3-on-1, but God told us this is his battle. He's going to fight it. And so we can be assured of victory. And so they prepare their army to go into battle against these other armies. What I want you to notice, because it's quite peculiar, is who he puts in the front of the army. Okay? Who's on the front line of this battle? Verse 21. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army. Singers. He puts the singers out in front. He doesn't put the Stallones or Schwarzeneggers or Brock Lesners or James Bonds out front. They're about to go into battle, and he puts the Bee Gees out front, right? And they're all like, you can't tell by the way I use my... Going into battle. This is really weird, right? They're going into battle led by the Glee Club that usually gets made fun of, but today they're leading them into war. Bizarre, all right? And so what happens is they're marching towards these other three armies who are marching towards them. And they can't see each other yet, but the armies, this kind of conglomerate army, they start to hear the sound of the singing kind of echoing through the valleys. And it starts to kind of annoy them. And so what happens is in verse 23, it says, the men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir, those are the Munites, to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So I don't know if you're getting this, but what happens is, and they don't tell us exactly how it happens or why it happens, but I think maybe we can guess. Because these are three armies who hate each other, right? But they've decided just this once, let's partner together to destroy Israel. And they're marching towards battle, right? And I can just kind of picture as they're marching and they start to hear this music. And maybe it's the Munites who are in the middle, and the Ammonites and the Moabites are on the outside. And maybe one of the Munites goes, man, can you hear them? We're going to be fighting them soon. And this Ammonite over here says, yeah, we are. And the Munite guy says, man, it's just lucky that we're in the middle. And the Ammonite guy says, what do you mean by that? And the Munite guy says, well, I mean, everybody knows that we're the greatest warriors in all the world. And so it's just lucky because this is the most important point of the battle. And we're in the middle, so we'll handle this. And the Ammonite guy says, really? You guys are the greatest warriors because I actually beg to differ. I think we are. And the guy's like, are you serious? And he's like, yeah, I'm serious. And he's like, you want to go? And he's like, yo, mom. And he's like, don't you talk about my mom. My mom was a saint. And he was like, yeah, your mama wears combat boots. And he's like, really? It's on. And so they start fighting. And maybe one of the other guys goes, fight, fight. And so probably not. And so they all kind of gather around. They're like, what's going on, man? We're going to war. Why are these guys fighting? And one of the Ammonites says, oh, yeah, one of the Munites kind of started to fight with the Ammonite. Don't worry, this will take like 2 minutes. And one of the Munites goes, what do you mean it's going to take 2 minutes? He's like, our guy's going to take your guy out. This will be quick. And he's like, really, your guy's going to take our guy out? And he's like, yeah, really. And he's like, why is that? And he's like, because we're tougher than you. And he's like, really? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, do you want to take this outside? He's like, we're already outside. And he's like, oh, it's go time. And so they start fighting. And pretty soon, these two armies are just in an absolute war against each other. And they are just battling each other, taking each other out. And maybe somebody from Mount Seir is like, what's going on? And he's like, yeah, these guys said something about his mama. He's like, oh, you don't talk about mamas. And so they jump in and they start destroying the Munite army. And so the Ammonite army and the Moabite army destroy the people from Mount Seir. And they're just all laying there dead. And the people who are left from each of those armies are like, well, I guess they're gone, but let's go fight. And he's like, yeah, man, it was good that we took care of them. And this guy's like, what do you mean you took care of them? And he's like, well, didn't you see what happened? And we killed most of them. And he's like, actually, I think we killed most of them. And he's like, really? And he's like, you want to go? And he's like, I'm right here. And so they start fighting each other, and they're destroying each other until apparently it's like down to two guys. And these two guys both draw their swords, and they lunge at each other and just whoop, pierce each other, and they fall dead. And all three armies are laying in this valley scattered dead when the Israelites finally arrive, Glee Club in the front. And they get there, and it's just this eerie scene because there's just thousands of dead bodies all through the valley. And they're like, man, what is going on? In fact, there's so many dead bodies, the Bible tells us it took 3 days to bury them all. And the Israelites just celebrate that God gave them victory in this seemingly unwinnable battle. In fact, they decide to call that valley the Valley of Barakah, which means celebration, because that was where they celebrated the victory that God gave them. Weird story, isn't it? So let's review real quick, all right? And so remember, they get news, right, that this conglomerate army is coming against them. And so Jehoshaphat doesn't start strategizing. He doesn't run. What does he do? He inquired of the Lord, right? And he prays this prayer. And at the end of the prayer, he kind of just lays the whole situation out before God. And then he says, very poetically, he says, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then they just stood there. They said, well, we prayed, let's go. They just stood there and waited. And then they received a what? A word from God. And so they say, all right, we're ready to go into battle. And who do they put up front? The Glee Club, yeah, the singers, right? They put the Bee Gees up front and say, we're ready for battle. And so it's kind of an odd story, but here's the deal. Even though it happened a long time ago, and you might be like, man, there could be nothing further removed from my life and my experience than this story, I beg to differ. I think there's a few skills in that story that we can totally apply to our lives. And if we do, you'll be the kind of person that people think, man, do you know something I don't know? Because you just seem closer to God than I am. And it just seems like you grow spiritually and your life is a little more together. Like, what do you do? What do you know that I don't know? And so what I want to do is I want to share with you just two of the skills. We could pull out a lot from this story, but two of the skills that we see in this story that we can apply to our lives. All right? And so the first is this. I really hope that we become people who inquire of the Lord. That we become people who inquire of the Lord. That when we face life, you know, when we have decisions to make, when we have problems, whatever it is, in any and every situation, we would just kind of lay our situations before God. Yes, he already knows, but we would still do it. We would just kind of talk it out with God. And then we would end by kind of praying, similar to Jehoshaphat. We would say something like, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And then we'd just sit there, and we'd wait for a word from God. And I don't know what it might be. It may be that as you lay out your situation and you just sit there, maybe all of a sudden you'll realize, man, there are some things that I think are really important that aren't that important. Or maybe as you sit there, it'll be like God kind of impresses on you, there are some things that are really important that I don't think are that important. My priorities are completely out of whack. I need to change some things. Or maybe God will help you to see, I am approaching this situation from a totally selfish perspective. Like I'm not thinking about anybody else, I'm just thinking about myself. Or maybe God will help you to see something you're really good at and say, man, you're gifted and go for it. But I hope that we would become people who inquire of the Lord, that when life is tough, when we face complex situations, when we have difficult circumstances, rather than just, you know, weighing the pros and cons or going to our friends and saying, what would you do? That we would take some time, and we could do that as well, but we would take some time to just lay the situation out before God. And we would say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And then just wait there in hopes that we will receive a word from God. Now, let me just be clear. I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice, okay, that there's going to be some, but I am saying that God is fully capable of speaking to you. If not, what kind of God is he? If not, it's really ridiculous that we meet here on Sundays if God isn't able to communicate with us. And so that God will communicate kind of deep inside in your heart, that, and you will just know some things you didn't know when you started praying, that you'll realize some things, that you'll see some things that you didn't see, and it'll be because God spoke to you. Let me give you just one personal example so you can see how this might work. A bunch of years ago, probably 10 years ago, I went to this ministry conference for pastors, and one night they had this like extended prayer time, and there was a band kind of playing music, and they just had to pray for a really long time. And so I was praying, and just some things that had happened recently and at that conference had me asking God this question that I had asked before, but I was really struggling with it. Basically, the question was, God, why did you do this in my life? Some of you know my story and some of you don't, but I did not grow up in a Christian home at all, and I became a Christian in the weirdest way, like God kind of reached down and showed me him and forced me to investigate and just all this weird stuff that seems like a real divine intervention-y kind of thing. And so I was praying, God, why? Like, why me? Why did you choose me? Why did I turn off that TV in that second? What do you want me to do? Am I doing what you want me to do with my life, or is there something more? Like, am I missing why you did all that? Why, God? Why me? Why did you reach out and do that? And I just got real quiet. I'm just sitting there when God spoke to me. Not out loud. There's people sitting all around me. Nobody else heard it. But, like, deep in my heart, I heard, I don't know if that's the right word, I said this impression, and what I heard was, you are enough. Aren't you enough? And I realized in that moment, I think that God was saying to me, I didn't save you. I didn't reach down and get your attention so that you'd do anything. You can do things for me, but I did because I love you, and I want a relationship with you. And you're enough for me. If you did nothing, you'd be enough for me. It's pretty cool. And I'll tell you this, as anyone will probably, I think, in those kind of situations, I wondered, was that really God or is that just me? You know, is that just me speaking to myself or did God really kind of give me that message? But you know what? It doesn't really matter because that message is something that the Bible says over and over again. And so whether it was, as I believe, whether it was really God speaking to me in that moment, telling me that, or if it was just me speaking to myself, remembering, that's what the Bible says. That's what God has already told me. Either way, I know God has told me, which is often what I find is how God speaks to us. What he'll do a lot is he'll remind us of things we already know. You know, when we say, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you, that God kind of reminds us of a Bible verse we've read that applies to our situation. Or suddenly you'll remember this teaching you heard, maybe here at Verve, you know, part of a message, and you're like, oh, I learned about this, and this is how this applies now. And so God often speaks to us in those moments. And so I hope we become people who inquire of the Lord. Now, let me just pause here for a minute, because a lot of people have questions about this. The question goes like this. A lot of people ask, yeah, what I want to know is, what is God's will for my life? Like, what am I supposed to do with my life? Whether it's, you know, who am I supposed to marry or what job am I supposed to have? What is God's will for my life? And so let me give you the big kind of answer that I give to people who ask that question. And it's this. Instead of getting all hung up on, you know, what might be God's will for me with this and what might God's will be for me with that, why don't you get real hung up on what God has already revealed as his will in the Bible. In the Bible, there's a whole lot of God's will that he shared with you, what he wants you to do with your life. Like the Bible, and if you just focus on that, it's the journey of a lifetime, right? It's not something you go, okay, I'll do that tomorrow. It's your life, right? Like the Bible says that God's will for you is for you to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know that's God's will. And so how about focusing on that? Because that's the journey of a lifetime. The Bible says that we're supposed to love other people as we love ourselves. That's God's will. And so focus on that, because that's the journey of a lifetime. The Bible says that we are supposed to represent, if we believe in Jesus and have accepted him, we're supposed to represent him to the world. The Bible says we're his ambassadors. We're supposed to share his love with people and show people what he's like. That's God's will for your life, and that's the journey of a lifetime. The Bible says we're supposed to be sacrificial and generous and giving, and man, that's God's will. And so instead of getting hung up on like, what about this and what about that, man, focus on what we know God's will is. Because that's the journey of a lifetime, and we know that. There's a whole lot of God's will in here. And know at the same time, man, when I have situations where I don't know what to do, when I'm stuck, when I have a situation that seems too daunting for me, I have this really cool thing. I have a God who loves me and who cares about every detail of my life. And so if I stop in that moment and I inquire of the Lord, if I lay my situation before God and say, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you, I have a God who will speak into my life. I have a God who will give me a word from God and help me to know how to proceed from here. And so I would just say focus on the will that God's already revealed. And when you're stuck in situations, man, ask God and he will give you a word. He'll speak into your life. And what I found, again, is it's often what God will do is he'll remind you of what you already know, which is why I would say it's so critical that we read the Bible. You know, that we really read it every day. And for people who say, well, what's God's will for my life? That's a question I ask is, well, do you read the Bible a lot? And a lot of times they're like, eh, not really. I'm like, it's kind of confusing, because if you want to know God's will for your life, it's here. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff. And so if you really want to know, here it is. And if you're God and you're like, hey, tell me what your will is with this and that, but you're not reading all this will that he already gave you, it's like, well, you're really not that interested in knowing what my will is. But I would say we need to read the Bible, because it gives God more to work with. You know, there are Bible verses that apply to every situation you're ever going to face. And so if you've already read those verses, when you're in this situation, you say, what should I do, God? It's a lot easier for God to remind you of something that you've already read, that you already know. And so, man, if you're not reading the Bible, we're helping you this year. We've created this one-year reading plan. You can get it at vervecatalyst.org, vervecatalyst.org. And every single day there's like a, hey, here's a chapter to read. Here's a few notes on that chapter. And so, man, engage with that, and it will help you to inquire the Lord and to receive a word from God. So the first skill is, and I really hope that we become people who inquire of the Lord. The second skill is the ability to really praise God, to sing to God, to worship God through singing. You know, in this story, they're going into battle, and instead of putting the warriors up front, they put the singers up front. And it seems ridiculous, right? I mean, really. Because you're thinking, man, what are they doing? What's going on in that moment is not spiritual stuff. It's real stuff. There's going to be fighting and this war. It's not spiritual stuff. Why put the singers praising God in the front? But that's not the case. What Jehoshaphat understood, and it was the key to victory, is that this is spiritual stuff. Everything is spiritual stuff. Throughout the Bible, people are commended who, the Bible calls it living by faith rather than by sight. That God really commends people who live by faith, not just by what they can see, taste, touch, and smell. And so what the Bible teaches us is, man, there's a lot more going on than we can see. And wise people realize that there is a spiritual component of this, that God's involved in everything. And so it would be very wise for me to involve God in everything. Even, you know, I'm going into war, this battle, man, we need to make sure that God comes first in this. You know, we're going to praise God at the front. And what we're going to trust is that if we focus on the spiritual component and on praising God, everything else will fall into place. But if we don't focus on the spiritual component and praising God, everything else probably won't fall into place. And it's true in our lives as well. It's so easy for us to look at our finances or our job situation or our marriage and how do we fix this and what do we do? And ignore that there is a very real spiritual dimension. And it's harder because we can't see it and taste it and touch it and smell it and hear it. But it's real. And so what we need to do is we need to stay focused on that spiritual dimension. And we need to make sure that we are including God in everything. And if we do, man, things will work. And so my prayer for our church is that we would become, like, really become worshipers. That's what God's looking for. God is looking for people who truly worship him from the heart. I realize that some of you are like, I don't even believe in God. Like, my friend dragged me here today. That's cool. We're glad you're here. And I pray you'll keep coming back and you'll explore God and you'll find out that he is very real. But for those of us who have gotten to this place where we believe, what God's looking for from us is that we would become worshipers of him, people who truly worship him from the heart. And one of the ways we do that, these are kind of like specialized prayer skills, right? Prayer is not just talking to God. Prayer is getting a word from God. It's hearing God. It's a two-way conversation. And prayer is also singing to God. And so what I hope happens in your life as you grow, and maybe it starts today, is when you come in here and we sing, that you would not view that as a performance by the band, that you would not view that as a time to listen to music, but that you would view that as a chance to worship God from your heart. And you wouldn't worry about the fact that you have a bad voice and somebody's standing next to you. You would just know that God wants your worship, that God loves to hear you sing, because what God's looking for is a love relationship with you. And it's your chance to kind of serenade God and let him know how you feel and be honest with him. And so I hope that we would become people who really worship God from our hearts. I hope that happens in your life. Now both of these are skills. I think both of them are skills. And the reality is that with any skill, you don't just start practicing it perfectly immediately, right? You can all think of skills that you picked up in your life, you know, maybe photography or cooking or whatever it is. And when you first did it, it was kind of sloppy and it was difficult and you were kind of awkward about it. And you're like, man, I don't even really know what I'm doing. And these are skills as well. So if you feel like, man, this all seems awkward to me. Like, if I went home and laid out a situation before God and inquired of the Lord and waited to hear a word, man, that just feels weird to me. It should. It's a skill that you're new to. If you're like, man, when I come, I usually just stand and listen to music. I don't know, like, I'm really supposed to sit there and sing out loud to God. Yeah, well, that just feels kind of weird. It should. It's a skill, right? And with any skill, you grow in it over time. But you don't grow in it unless you practice it. And so my prayer today is that you would start to become one of those people who know things that other people don't know. That you would become one of those people. It's like, man, what is it about you? Do you know something? Because you just seem like, you honestly, not like you're putting on a show, you just honestly seem like somebody who's closer to God than I am. It seems like you're growing in ways I'm not growing. It seems like when difficult times hit, you don't react the way the rest of us do. You have this peace and like you know what to do. And you might share it or you might just kind of go, ha, I know something you don't know. But you would have these skills that started out awkward, but you grew in over time. One last thing I'll say about this, though. As with everything we've talked about in this series, and especially maybe today, you know, we've talked about prayer as intimacy with God, and you know, I'm sharing my heart with him. I lay my head on his lap, right? And it's this kind of growing in my relationship with him. We talked about prayer as like making requests of God and really asking him to respond and to work in my life. And we talked about God doesn't always respond the way we want him to or think he will, but that's a chance for us to grow. And today, thinking about inquiring of God and receiving a word from God and singing to God, all these things only work if you have a relationship with God, right? Well, let's just be honest. You know, you're not going to have intimacy with somebody that you don't have a relationship with. You're not going to ask somebody for things if you don't feel comfortable with them. We're not going to inquire the Lord if we don't deeply trust him, right? You don't want to seek advice and wisdom from somebody that you don't feel good about what they're going to be saying to you. And you're not going to sing and share your heart with somebody that you don't love. And so it all starts with having a relationship with God. And some of you may not be there yet. You know, you may be coming to church, which is awesome. You may even have started believing in God, or maybe you do believe in Jesus. That's great. But there needs to come a time in your life where you say, God, I want to start a relationship with you. I want to accept what Jesus did for me on the cross, and however that works, that enables me to move into a relationship with you. I want that, God. And then we start growing in all these skills and starting to be able to really pray and to really sing. And one of the things about singing that I found is the more you grow in that relationship with God, the more you love God, the more your heart grows towards God, the more you want to sing. And it's also true in some mysterious way that the more you sing to him, the more your heart grows towards him, and you just find yourself loving him more and more. But it all has to start with a relationship. If you don't have that yet, man, I could talk to you after the service, or we have people at the Velcro Bar available, and they'd love to answer your questions, and they won't force you into anything, but just be able to kind of walk with you through those decisions and trying to figure all that out. So what we typically do is we kind of end with an application, you know, and hey, here's our now what. Here's what we're going to do as we leave this place. But today, the application is we're going to sing. All right, and so we're going to have the band come back up here, and we're going to do three songs, and just give you a chance to not worry about what anybody else hears, and is your voice good or whatever, but if you're somebody who believes in God and finds yourself loving God, that you say, God, I want to sing to you and just kind of celebrate what you're doing in my life and let you know how I feel. During this time, we also make communion available every week, and you can take communion during any point of these three songs, just whenever you feel kind of ready to do that. But communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and it represents Jesus' body and blood. And it helps us to remember what he did for us on the cross so that we could have that relationship with God. And so there is the elements of communion on the tables with candlelight over here and in the back over there. And so during any part of this next three songs, if you want to get up and get bread and juice and bring it back to your seat and pray, we'd be glad for you to do that. So I'm going to pray, and let's start practicing these skills right now. So let's pray. God, thanks so much for being a God who loves us and wants a relationship with us. God, thank you that you make prayer available to us. These last few weeks, we've been trying to think about what prayer really is and how can it change my life? How can it help my relationship with you? And God, we've looked at prayer from a lot of different angles. And I pray, God, that it would help us to grow closer to you, because that's what we want. God, today as we think about inquiring of the Lord, maybe for some of us that's a brand new idea. When we face situations and complex, you know, circumstances, that you are not who we go to. But I pray we'd start today, as awkward as it might be, that would be something we'd start developing in our life today. And God, maybe some of us come here week after week and we just listen to the music and tap our foot, but I pray that we would start to really sing. We would sing from our hearts, no matter how it sounds, no matter how well we know the words, that we would just want to express our love and devotion and our desire for more of you. Thanks for loving us, God. Thanks for relationship. Thanks that this is real. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.